We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Josh Allen sets up deep, going deep again. He's got a man wide open, John Brown. He makes the catch. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen.
Howard Simon.
You're having a drink. You glance down at your coaster. It says, tweet us on Facebook. And you say, okay, I think I will.
Jeremy White.
I mean, he's just an icon in state anthem circles of the world.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Monday. It is a happy Monday after a very stressful Sunday. I'm going to say the most stressful non-Bills game day I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
That's saying something.
I was stressed out yesterday from 4 to 7:30.
What could you possibly have been stressed out
about? I guess I was more worried about Miami than I cared to admit last week.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm not even worried about Miami, and I wasn't stressed out. That game wasn't even all that stressful until the last drive.
No, the whole game was stressful. Well, it was stressful because I was watching it on Red Zone Channel, so I'm getting pieces of the game, for one thing. Yeah, it was stressful.
It would have been a miracle. At no point did it look like Miami was going to win that
game. The only time I got nervous, I was stressed out. I'm not going to lie. You know me. Look, I get stressed out very easily at this point in my life. But when Fitz came in, I thought, oh, crap, he's going to rally them to a win. I mean, if Tua stayed in, there's no way they were going to score 10 points to tie in the final 10-plus minutes. They weren't doing anything offensively. When Fitz came in, I thought, okay, now it's possible. I mean, Denver's no great shakes.
Right.
So when Fitz came in, I started thinking, uh-oh, here we go. I was just in, and then I got into really, I was in a lot of dark places yesterday with that game. And the Hail Mary was back in my head again. It was just, so I was very happy Miami lost. I was then able to enjoy the rest of my Sunday night.
I had the kind of the opposite experience. Mine mainly was like, look at all these teams that aren't that good.
Meh day of football. The early games
Baltimore's not good.
No.
Their defense is good. And one thing, you know, watching bye week observations, boy, Yannick Ngakoue would have been real nice for the Bills because he's really good and he makes a difference, even though they ultimately lose. But Baltimore's not good. They're not good anymore. And they're afraid of their own offense.
Yeah.
To see them at the end of the first half with 40 seconds to field goal range and timeouts and 40 seconds and 40 yards, they ran it out. I thought, oh, you're not going to compete with the Bills doing that, which was a really nice feeling. So maybe that's why I wasn't stressed. But, you know, running out the clock in a first half, what is this, 1997? What are we doing here, Baltimore? Come on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh moves to 10-0. Congratulations. Their best win is Baltimore.
Yeah, no, they're
or Tennessee, I guess.
For a good chunk of that first half, it kind of reminded me of their game against Dallas, where I thought they would just go in, they'd have a pretty easy win, and they scored. I want to say they scored a late touchdown in the first half yesterday to get a little more breathing room at halftime, but Deontay Johnson had a big game, but I wouldn't say that I was overly impressed with the Steelers against two of their lesser opponents this year.
Right. The Bills have played more over 500 teams than the Steelers have. I mean, Pittsburgh is 10-0 because, A, they're good, and, B, they've got a really soft schedule. I mean, it's really soft. If you were to pick the Bills against the Steelers' schedule, you'd have them probably at 9-1, or maybe 8-2, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they don't have a game against the Rams or the Seahawks or the Cardinals. Their games, outside of division, their toughest game is Tennessee, and that's it. Their other tough game would have been Dallas, who didn't have Dak Prescott, right? They had Nick DiNucci. What was his name?
Ben DiNucci. And remember, that game was close for a good chunk.
Right, right. So I still think Pittsburgh is good, but I don't think they should be feared the way Kansas City should be. And Kansas City last night ends up beating the Raiders. The Raiders, who pushed KC to the limit, seem to have their number a little bit, which I think is another testament to how good the Chiefs are.
I think, I watched the first half of the Sunday night game. I wish I would have made it for the whole game. It was a very entertaining first half, and it sounded like it just played out the rest of the way like that. I was impressed with Carr. I thought he looked good. They came right out, and first couple drives went right down. They're matching Kansas City, or they started scoring, then Kansas City matched them. But they were going toe-to-toe, offense-to-offense against Kansas City and what we think is the best offense in the league. So I was impressed with them. Indy woulda, coulda, shoulda lost that game to Green Bay, but they pull that one out. And, I don't know.
Indy's good.
Yeah, well, their defense is good, and Rivers is making enough plays. I mean, I suppose I should give him credit. He is not killing them, and I thought he was shot after last year and the beginning of this season, but he made some nice throws yesterday, made some good plays for them. So Indy looked good. That was a real nice come-from-behind win for them because they got a race going on with Tennessee.
You might also have thought, well, maybe the Chargers are going to be a real challenge this week, and maybe the Broncos are going to be a real challenge. You don't think the Chargers are going to be a real challenge?
No.
Oh, I do.
Well, I'll tell you this. Good luck covering Keenan Allen.
Good luck covering anybody.
And Justin Herbert is their best player.
He will be – how many quarterbacks better than Herbert have the Bills played this year? Mahomes? Would you say Kyler Murray?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
because
I would
of
say
the running,
Kyler
Murray. Not actually because of the passing.
But he's good enough passing. He's not putting up 300 plus yards like Herbert is.
Right. So best passing quarterbacks, Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go through New York,
you put
Miami. I'm
Goff?
Spinning through the schedule now.
Yeah, right. Like Goff is in a better offense.
Russell Wilson,
okay, too. Justin Herbert. We'll see. I'm interested to see what the weather forecast is. But the Chargers, I think, are a tough, tough matchup. And not, the Bills will be favored. They're 5-point favorites. But, the Jets actually stuck with them, so that might not be that bad.
That's why I felt a little encouraged there. I mean, the Jets did put up 28. Yeah. And that's
the Bills should be
not a great Jets. Right. That's not a great Jets offense.
Yeah.
And there is still, there's no way the Chargers are going to blow this game, right? And it ends up the Jets get the ball in a one possession game with like 2 or 3 minutes left, and they turn the ball over on downs. But they had a chance to actually take the lead in that game late. So I wasn't overly impressed with LA's defense there.
Then there's the Broncos, who maybe are a little tougher than you thought. I mean, if you watch that game against Miami, the one thing that you might get scared about is, will Denver be able to run
the
against
ball.
The Bills?
Yes.
Because they ran all over Miami, and Miami's defense is good.
Yeah, they ran for about, 189, I think it was? I didn't realize it was that high, but I thought I saw that stat. Not worried about Drew Lock. He made some nice throws yesterday, but you'd be worried more about Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Although, I got to tell you, Melvin Gordon was on my you-know-what list there for a little while after the fumble at the one-yard line. Yeah. I was very angry at Melvin Gordon. I don't know him personally, but he really angered me yesterday. But
I was okay with him just because I formerly had him in guillotine and he never scored. And then I apparently I thought I still had him, but I didn't.
Oh,
and he had two touchdowns, so I was mad at him. Uh-huh. So when he fumbled at the one, I was happy because he didn't get three touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated relationship I have there with Melvin Gordon.
Oh, I thought for sure the 99-yard game-winning touchdown drive
Fitz
was coming from Ryan Fitz. He'll go 99, they'll go for two, and they'll win the game. I thought for sure that was coming.
I would love to know if they were going to go for two. I bet they would.
I think he would have gone for two, right? Don't you?
I do. I really wanted to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, I was rooting for Fitz a little bit there, not because I want the Dolphins to win, but, I've told you, I'm not really afraid of that race. I like the idea of the race being exciting. Today, instead of being in the thick of a division race against another good team, we're talking about how the Bills could clinch in week 16 or week 7, or I'm sorry, week 15 at the earliest, maybe week 16. The Dolphins still have a light schedule. They should beat the Jets.
Should. And the Bengals without Burrow.
Oh, God. That's
a big injury
sucks.
For them. Yep.
So I'm mad about that.
now they're facing Ryan Finley in a couple weeks.
Right. So they should win 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the storyline is like, well, maybe the Bills will clinch the division in New England, which would be kind of cool, right, if you'd win that game.
Yeah.
So whatever. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of season left. The Bills do have tough games. As much as we could say only the Steelers look to be really scary on the schedule, I do think the other teams they play present the possibility that you could lose a game here or there. I think you could lose to Denver. I think you could lose to New England the second time. Cam Newton threw for 365 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so their offense has kind of returned a little bit now that Jacoby Myers and Damir Bird and Edelman's healthy again, right? I saw he came off IR, so.
But their defense got shredded by Deshaun Watson yesterday, even with Gilmore back in the lineup. Look, they could, you know, I don't know that there's a game. The lockiest game, I guess, would be this game this Sunday. Well, right? You would think you should be able to beat the Chargers.
Yeah.
Unless Justin Herbert goes bananas and Keenan Allen has like 200 yards receiving. But I would think this is the game you would feel the best about of the remaining six games. And then my guess
Chargers,
is it would be Denver after that.
Man, if I tell you the Chargers, you got to really prepare yourself for Sunday, okay?
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Here are the Chargers' margins of victory or loss.
Oh, yeah, right.
Ready?
It's going to be,
3-3-5-7-3-10.
Right.
1-5-2-6. The 10 is their win over Jacksonville. Every one of their losses, 3 to Kansas City, 5 to Carolina, 7 to Tampa, 3 to New Orleans, 1 to Denver, 5 to Vegas, 2 to Miami.
And I'm guessing I know in some of those games, I know they had second-half leads. I don't know about all of them.
Right. They've had collapses in these games.
Yeah. They led Kansas City in the second half. They
Miami
had a lead in Tampa.
Sorry.
They had a lead in Tampa. I just don't remember if it was after halftime or not. I know they led that game at some point.
Yeah. Miami was 8, not 2. I read that as a 27 instead of a 21. But the point is, this is a team that plays close games.
Mm-hmm.
They stay in it. And they stay in it because they score. They score a lot, really. Since Justin Herbert has gone in and kind of – which was what, week 2, 3, 4, somewhere in that neighborhood? Tyrod started the season. I'll look this up. I'm sorry. I should know this.
It was earlier than 4. I want to say he's got this. I think yesterday was his 9th start, so maybe it was week 2.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyrod went in against Cincinnati, and it was week 2. Week 2.
Yep.
So in his first career start, he played the Chiefs and lost by 3.
And he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in 7 straight games.
Yeah.
Like he's got, what's he got? He's got... I think 21-ish. Look at his touchdown passes when you get a chance. I saw the stat on that yesterday, and I thought it made me think, like, last year in his first full year as a starter, Josh had, I think, 20 touchdown passes.
Yeah, he's got 19 touchdown passes in
19.
Eight games.
All right, I thought he had a little
games.
Bit more.
It's a 38 touchdown
That doesn't include yesterday's game. I think
right,
he's had 9
right.
starts. So he's over 20 touchdown passes in 9 starts.
And a 4,000-yard season.
That's really good. You know, for a rookie, and again, he's on a team that, you know, isn't the greatest offensive line and a team that, I mean, his record is 2-7 as a starter, and it's not his fault, you know, because they blow leads all the time. So, yeah, I watched, again, Red Zone, so I saw what I could of the Jets-Chargers, and I've been impressed almost every time I've seen Herbert. I've been impressed with him, but I think, their defense isn't that good. Their special teams are horrendous. And they just find ways to lose football games. I still feel very good about the Bills winning this game on Sunday, and they really need to. I'm breathing a little easier because of the loss by Miami yesterday. Because quite honestly, I looked at that. To me, that was their most losable game. Maybe you didn't think that one when the day started, but when you heard that Joe Burrow was out and he's out for the season, and you now look at the Jets and the Bengals as the next two games, to me that Denver game was the most losable of the three for them. So I'm glad they lost because I was thinking, okay, they're going to be 9-3. If they beat Denver, they're 9-3, which means the Bills have to beat the Chargers and the Niners to stay tied and have the tiebreak edge. If not, they'd fall behind them in the standings in 2 weeks. So I was very glad they lost to Denver yesterday.
And now the big question and the big story about Miami, did Brian Flores make any mistakes along the way here? Should he have not gone to Tua? Because if Fitz plays that whole game against Denver,
I think
maybe they
win. Yeah, I think they could. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one drive. Who knows how they would have adjusted? Is it a mistake to go to Fitz in relief and then go back to Tua? Because I do think this will be one of the bigger stories in the league this week is the changing quarterback position and what Miami is doing or should do.
Yeah,
I have a very what my feeling on it ends up being a little bit of a hot take because in football, what Brian Flores did is not done. You don't do that.
Right.
You're not
supposed to do that. You stay with the guy. Correct.
Oh, right. How could you possibly take Tua out? Now you've ruined his confidence. Well, if you left him in, maybe that ruined his confidence too. You know? Like, he clearly didn't have the answers.
No.
So, you kind of pull back and say, let's get him out. and let's put him in next week. That's fine. He's a young quarterback. This is our plan. We know what we're doing. The idea that you can't take Tua out of the game for Ryan Fitzpatrick in relief, I just don't get it.
I think my question to you, Jeremy, is this one. How would you play this? Look, I think he made the right move yesterday, okay?
I agree.
When he made the coaching change, they were 3-3. He's playing yesterday. I mean, Flores. He's coaching yesterday for a tie for first place. And his rookie quarterback is having a bad day. Now, it's not all his fault, but he's 11 of 20, and he has, what, 83 yards passing through three quarters. And the game is there, and he's got a chance to tie for first place. He absolutely made the right move to bring in Fitz. Here's my question to you, though.
Is it right to stick with Tua?
Well, he already said, he comes out of the game after the game. Flores already said, Tua's our quarterback. We're staying with Tua.
Right.
And Fitz said the same thing. It's Tua's team. He's the leader. He's going to be fine. So, no, I guess my question to you is, what do you do? Conventional coaching philosophy is you don't keep pulling a guy. If you're going to go with the young guy, but again, this is different. The Chargers have stayed with Justin Herbert. Well, their season was going nowhere. Who cares? Play. The Bengals played Joe Burrow from day one. Right. The season was going nowhere, and they had Ryan Finley behind him. Miami is now in a division race, so that's a little bit different than the other two teams playing their rookie quarterbacks. What if he stays with Tua? And they're struggling against the Jets at halftime. Maybe they're tied, they're losing, or he's not playing well against the Jets, or he's not playing well against the Bengals, and every game is critical for Miami. Does he do this again? Does he just say, nope, I have to stay with Tagovailoa. I can't start him and then pull him and then start him the next week. Basically, it's going to a relief pitcher, so to speak. And the book says in the NFL, you don't do that. So what does he do?
If you have a quarterback that goes in and has a problem every week, he shouldn't be your starter, right? But, I mean, a lot of people thought Flores made the right call going to Tua when he did because, all right, we're 3-3 and we're going to see how this thing goes.
Right.
So that was the right call. I would agree that pulling him yesterday was the right call. Is this one of those strange situations where two rights make a wrong? I just don't think so.
No, I thought – yeah, go ahead.
These are grown men. These are adults. It's actually one of the things that probably doesn't happen enough. That you pull a quarterback that clearly doesn't have the answer. Think of how many times, and granted, we can go to a lot of failures for the Bills' drought, but think of how many times the Bills had a quarterback that wasn't getting it done and just rode that guy until the end of the game and lost.
Right.
And never even tried switching to the other guy, whoever that might be. So, a lot of times quarterback changes are made when you are forced into it, and instead Brian Flores made a bold decision and gave his team a chance to win. So, his decision for me, I gained respect for him.
Yeah.
I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
I think he probably has a real good feel on his room there. And how does he justify it to the guys in the locker room, or how does he justify it to his team? I'm never going to stop giving us a chance to win. And we still believe in him because you're young. It's supposed to be – this game's going to humble you, Tua had said, I thought it would be harder. Well, Sunday it was harder.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Wait a minute. It'll get harder. But, yeah, I think Brian Flores, to me, made a really nice move. All around. I think he's done a good job, and if he sticks with Tua and Tua bounces back, well, then he's a genius. And if Tua doesn't, well, my guess is he'll go to Fitz for a couple of games and maybe even in the playoffs.
I think because if you look at it, I still think with Tua Tagovailoa starting, they should still beat the Jets and the Bengals, I think. The bigger question I have now, Tua in the final four games against the Chiefs, and what it's Chiefs, Patriots, Raiders, Bills. That's a tough stretch. But I still think, to me, the bigger question with Tua and that offense is the sustainability of what they're doing, or in this case, what they're not producing. He's had four games. Well, three games and three quarters in the fourth game. So almost four games. In three of the games, he really hasn't been good. He had a great game against Arizona. I mean, he's throwing the ball. They're putting up points. They're putting together long touchdown drives. But the other three games, the Rams, the Chargers, and yesterday, he really hasn't been good. In two of those other three games, he was under 100 yards passing. And they were relying on what? Their defense and special teams to, if not score touchdowns with defense, Tua's had two. I look back at all his touchdown drives since he's taken over as starter. He's got 9 touchdown drives, Jeremy. Two of them were 1 yard. One's 22 yesterday. Another one was 32, and another one was 33. So 5 of the 9 touchdown drives he's led have been under 35 yards. He had 3 long ones against Arizona. That's clearly his best game. They're putting a lot of pressure on their defense and special teams to, if not score, at least shorten the field considerably for the rookie quarterback. And it was working. They, you know, they were 3-0 until yesterday. I don't see how that is sustainable. Certainly not when you're playing Kansas City. And the Raiders are a high-scoring offense. And the Bills can be a high-scoring offense. So that's the one thing I would say. I don't know that you can do that with this kid. You've got to be able to get some production from your offense at some point. Maybe not a problem the next two games for them, especially with Joe Burrow out for Cincinnati. And maybe Darnold's back, although I'm not sure that Darnold, Flacco, I don't know that it matters. You know, the Jets' secondary is pretty bad, so I think they could still win the next two games. But sustainability of what that offense is doing, that's difficult for them in the final four games.
Yep.
They got to put up points to win those games.
Yep. And, I mean, this day was coming for Tua and for the Broncos. You know, we talked about it. Like, sure, I mean, he does look good. There are signs.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just, we even mentioned it specifically, Josh Allen against the Green Bay Packers, right?
Yeah.
1 week after he looked amazing, he couldn't do anything. He had like 92 yards in that game. And the Bills got shut out.
Yep.
Those games are coming for you when you're a rookie quarterback. And the goal is, of course, to get him out as soon as you can. So, I still think Miami is good. They didn't have a great day, you know. They had a bunch of penalties. It was a really rough day for them.
Yeah.
To watch them was, I don't know, not disappointing. I think if you're a Miami fan, you would. It's probably how you felt like the Bills played against Tennessee a little bit. Just like, oh, geez, this is bad. This is not your day. Like,
right.
This, nothing has gone your way. And granted, they were close and almost won it, or almost tied it, I should say.
But you said, I think if you're a Miami fan, you were not expecting your defense to have the problems they did against Denver's running game.
That's right.
You would have thought, okay, look, not sure how Tua is going to do offensively, but our defense is going to be fine. This game, neither team's getting to 20 points, and we're going to find a way to win the football game. But they couldn't stop Denver's running game yesterday.
So I watched a lot of that one. I watched a lot of Tennessee-Baltimore. I watched some of Minnesota-Dallas.
That was a good game.
Andy Dalton's back. It was a good game.
Yeah, and Green Bay-Indy, those were really entertaining football games.
I think Dallas is going to win the East.
You know what I've got to tell you? I've made a complete 180. I am now embracing the NFC East race.
Yep.
I mean, this is hilarious. Are you kidding me? The Eagles lost, and they're in first still at 3-6-1. And then Washington and the Giants and the Cowboys are all 3-7. How do you not love a division race like that?
Well, Dallas has to only beat Washington, Cincinnati, Philly, and the Giants. Four more.
Wow.
And they'll get to seven wins, right, and more in the division. Philadelphia's terrible.
They are. I preface everything by saying I'm watching these games through Red Zone. But
well,
every time I see Carson Wentz, he makes a really bad decision.
It was a terrible weather game there in Cleveland.
Yeah, it was raining and crappy.
But the Eagles are so bad they make me upset. We should not be subject to the Eagles on a regular basis. So, again, the Cowboys, I just mentioned who they play. The Eagles have now Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona, Dallas, Washington.
Whoa,
good luck. You're
going
to win one game.
Wow, that's
maybe
tough. Yeah, that's brutal.
The Eagles are cooked. So I think Dallas, who sits at 3-7 and currently fourth in the division, might win that division.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's now very – I think it's hilarious, actually. People are going to say it's embarrassing and all that stuff. How do you not love a division where the four teams all have three wins and we're going into week 12? I just think that's fantastic.
On Dallas right now. Well, why not? Let's do that.
I didn't even look at the remaining schedule for the Giants in Washington. Dallas plays Washington Thursday, or who are they playing Thursday? It's a division game for them, right? I think it's Washington.
Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, for the middle game on Thursday.
Try to find some odds on some odds on winning the division for Dallas at 3-7. They play Washington, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're at Baltimore.
Ooh.
Who? Maybe they could beat. Baltimore, it's all gone south. One really interesting thing about that quarterback draft class of 2017, right? Allen's year.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2017, Baker Mayfield was the best quarterback of the group. And in 2018, Lamar Jackson was the best quarterback of the group.
Yep.
And in 20, well, I'm a year off, sorry. In 2020. 20,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. In 2018, 20. It's the 2018 class. And year one, Mayfield. Year two, Lamar. Year three, Josh Allen's the best.
So what, Darnold or Rosen next year?
I was going to say, get those two in a dynasty league because one of them is going to be good next year.
Put your future bets down for those guys now.
Yeah. But seriously, like Baker was a great rookie and has completely gone away.
Right.
And Lamar was the MVP of the league and does not look anything the same.
No, in Cleveland now they're talking about how Baker Mayfield is a manage the game guy now, right? Yeah. Don't turn the ball over and just hand it off to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
And that,
that's their ground game, you know?
Yeah, they're running the ball a lot. They're also playing in monsoons almost every
week. Yeah, someone made the point, their last three home games have been stupid, crazy bad weather.
Yeah.
Really tough conditions to throw the ball. But I still think that the identity of their offense is running the ball. And in Baltimore, you know, something's happening with the Ravens. I was reading one of the, I think it was maybe Jason LaConfora did a write-up today and said that, you know, we know that Lamar Jackson's numbers are down across the board. And here he is talking about there's no outside passing game. The only time they throw the ball, it's over the middle. It's typically to one of their tight ends. So their passing game has struggled. And he's not running as much or as successfully, Lamar Jackson, as they did last year. And they've got a lot of problems. Look, Baltimore's 6-4. They're outside of the playoff spot right now. And they play Pittsburgh Thursday night. So if they lose that, now they're 6-5. And there's a whole bunch of three-loss teams in the AFC. So they're slipping themselves out of the playoffs. I'd be worried about Baltimore going forward if they lose on Thursday night to the Steelers. They might not be in the playoffs at all after being the one seed the year before. So and they've got problems defensively too. It is a Bills Football Monday. They didn't play, but I'm sure a lot of you were glued to games yesterday. You can give us your thoughts on the Dolphins and the quarterback discussion, Tua, Fitz, everything that you saw yesterday about Miami. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe there's some other games that you want to get into. Maybe you were watching the Chargers yesterday. We talked a little bit about, we'll get into more about the Burrow injury. 803-0550. And by the way, you can still talk about the Bills today as they get back to work and take on the Chargers Sunday at the stadium. We would love to hear from you. Phone lines are open to talk some football with us today on this Monday morning. 888-552-550. It is Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
November 23rd. Big day in history there, Howard.
November 23rd.
Yesterday was, right?
Yesterday was, yeah.
Yeah. I think today would have been my grandmother's birthday. Now about it. Right around here. Anyway, that just popped into my head for no reason. Yeah, yesterday a big day.
Yeah,
at some point
I'm watching football and everything, and I stopped and thought, what's today? It's November 22nd. Like, yeah, it was. As I've told you before, if you ever get to Dallas, if you're ever in Dallas, go to Dealey Plaza. It really is. I mean, I'm a history nerd anyway, but I think of course, it's one of the more significant events in the history of our country to stand there in Dealey Plaza and look at the X in the street where the bullet struck the motorcade.
If you can also get to the sixth floor museum.
And go into the museum.
Yeah.
And be there staring at the shooter's nest, which is, you know, closed off and glass and everything.
But we've talked about it before with their self-guided tours. Yeah. One of the better things that they've done.
Yep.
It was such a cool experience. I mean, somber, but
yes,
still a very much needed thing to do if you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah. I love a good audio tour, like self-guided tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Alcatraz has a great one.
Oh, do they?
Oh, it's really good.
Never been to Alcatraz.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to be standing around necessarily following a group of 30 people walking, shuffling. Or just give me a headset.
Yep.
And take me through it.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It's weird. It's a very strange feeling, Jeremy. And I've been to Ford's Theater too, and that's kind of weird. But this is, I don't know. I mean, because it's more modern. It's on film. You know, you can actually see the Zapruder film, and just to stand there and in the plaza and out and up in the building on the sixth floor. It's just, I don't know. It's just a very, it's hard to describe what it's like. It's eerie.
Yeah.
So let's get some headlines on this Bills Football Monday here on WGR. The Dolphins lost yesterday to Denver 20-13. Tua Tagovailoa benched in the fourth quarter for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He led him to a field goal drive and then tried to put together, at the very least, a game-tying 99-yard touchdown drive, but he was picked off in the end zone. So Miami is 6-4. Brian Flores after the game said Tua Tagovailoa is their starting quarterback. They'll play the Jets next. Houston beat New England, so the Patriots are 4-6.
That one I needed more. I needed that more than I needed the Dolphins to lose.
Really? You're a little worried about that one?
Not worried. I needed New England to go away.
Yeah. So you think they're dead? Are they dead now?
It was not. We were not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
Oh, they're back. Watch out. No.
Put a fork in them?
They have tough games. Yes, this was one of their easier games left.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Their schedule gets. Well, now they've got to play, Arizona and then the two
Rams.
L.A. teams?
Yeah. Yeah. They're cooked now. Mm-hmm. We can finally mostly say they're cooked.
Sure.
Like okay. 98. They're like 98% cooked.
Well, I mean, they are three down in the loss column to the schmozzle, you know, to the guys that are in playoffs.
Are the Bills going to lose six games?
I don't think so, but talk to me after Sunday.
Okay.
Pittsburgh's 10-0. They beat Jacksonville. Tennessee over Baltimore. So that went in overtime, by the way, 30-24. The Titans are 7-3. The Ravens are on the outside looking in right now in the AFC playoff race at 6-4. Indy is 7-3 and technically in first in the South. They have the tiebreaker over the Titans at this point. Colts rallied to beat Green Bay in overtime. The Bills' next opponent, the Chargers, beat the Jets. The Jets are now 0-10. Justin Herbert, 366 yards passing and three touchdowns. Very entertaining game last night. Kansas City gets a late touchdown from Patrick Mahomes. They beat Vegas 35-31. Chiefs are 9-1. The Raiders are 6-4. The big injury news of the day yesterday, Joe Burrow, the talented quarterback in Cincinnati, a possible torn ACL. He tweeted yesterday, "I'll see you next year." Monday Night Football tonight, Rams and Tampa will have the game on WGR. One other note, AP College football poll out, the top four, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, not really a big surprise there. UB received three votes. Those are your headlines. Add a smile to your Buffalo Football Monday with WGR and Crosby's. Earn points and rewards every day with the new My Crosby's Rewards program. Stop in today and learn more. And stop into our show and call us today at 803-0550 as we talk about the Dolphins and all the games from yesterday and the race in the AFC East and the race in the AFC. It is a dandy as we get into the final six games of the season for the Bills.
If you like predictions, playoff odds, 538 has the latest predictions slash odds for the Bills at 90% to make the playoffs. 85% to win the division, if you like that.
I do like that.
Yeah. If they beat the Chargers, they go to 94% and 89%, whatever. They're in great shape. Everything looks good. Especially if Miami loses one more game. But they're not going to lose to the Jets.
I really don't think so. And I don't think they're losing to the Bengals without Burrow. I mean, maybe Burrow would have given them a fighting chance, but I doubt that's going to happen now. So, you know, let's see. That would put Miami at 8-4 going into the final four games of the season. And if the Bills beat the Chargers, 8-3, worst case scenario, you're 8-4 after a loss to San Francisco and you still have the tie-breaking edge into the final four games. And that's where Miami's schedule on paper looks tougher than your schedule to close out the season. Plus, you got Miami here. So, who knows? I don't know if it'll come down to the final game. Like you said, it could be decided in the New England game because that would give the Bills the tie-breaking edge in a division record if they beat New England. So we'll see. But I, like I said, I'm feeling a little better. I would have been, nervous about that if Miami would have won yesterday because I would have put them down in ink at 9-3 then.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know what to think. Look, I think the Bills are beating the Chargers. I have no idea about the San Francisco game. I don't know whether I should be worried about that game or be not worried about that game.
Mainly what the Dolphins loss does for me is it kind of builds in another mistake for the Bills if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Miami had won, as you're pointing out, 9-3 is in their cards, then the Bills can't really afford to stumble at all. And with Miami losing to Denver, it's almost like the Bills could afford now losing to Denver and still being up. I mean, they're up two games instead of up, you know, whatever. They're up. What are they up?
They're up a game now and the tiebreaker.
A game now.
Right.
And the tiebreaker. Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Instead of being tied. So you have that little bit of breathing room, you know?
Well, like I said, I got over the course of the day yesterday, I put myself in a very dark place that had, well, they're going to be 9-3, and the Bills will beat the Chargers, and then what happens if they stumble against both San Francisco and Pittsburgh? Now you're at 5 losses going in. Now you're behind Miami by 2 games. Yeah, don't. I'm really messed up in terms of my psychosis and my head when it comes to sports. I really tend to put myself into very, 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 very bad places. But all that changed. Once Miami lost to Denver, then I'm back happy and feeling great about the division race and, you know, expecting the Bills to win the division again. But, hey, I did sit down and do the whole everybody's remaining schedule. So I waited until last night to do the Bills. Well, I knew what the Bills and the Patriots and the Dolphins, but then Kansas City and Pittsburgh and, you know, Indy and all this. So I've got everybody's remaining schedules to start thinking about all this other stuff. The Bills are still the 3 seed, by the way. Probably should have thrown that in the headlines,
yep,
too. They're still the 3 seed. They're tied at 7-3 with Indianapolis, but I think the Bills have the better AFC record. They would have been the 4 seed if Tennessee was in first place in the AFC South because they would have lost head-to-head.
See, my newest obsession is looking at the weather for Sunday.
I didn't look at it yet. What is the weather for Sunday?
Right now, looks like sunshine in between 37 and 52.
Okay.
Whoa, not a lot. Not a big chance of rain.
Good.
And wind looks mild.
Good. So
let's
they can
keep that.
Throw the ball.
Yeah. I want to see a track meet on a late November afternoon in Buffalo. So let's keep that a beautiful day if possible. I don't want, you know, these two premier passers.
Nice.
Passers.
Yeah.
I don't want these two premier passers to be shut down by a wind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it sounds like, I think from what I read over the weekend, there's a good chance, I guess, that Austin Eckler would return for this game. But you'd still be, in terms of this matchup, first and foremost, you'd still be thinking they got to shut down Justin Herbert. And they've got to figure out how to keep Keenan Allen from having 16 catches for 145 yards like he did against the Jets, albeit
and
the Jets
Mike
started
Williams,
two rookie cornerbacks yesterday.
And Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry, tough matchup.
There are some good weapons there,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
For sure. And Herbert's...
He's good.
He's poised.
Really...
He's calm. He threw a gorgeous deep ball down the middle of the field yesterday. He's really fun to watch, and maybe not fun when the Bills are playing against him. But as I said, Jeremy, I'm trying to think of the one game that I might have seen through Red Zone where I thought there has been, I'm sure, a game where he's looked bad. Oh, the Miami game. He was really bad against the Dolphins. That's the one stinker he's had out of 9 starts this year. Outside of that, he looks really in control of that offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and he, you know, people talked a lot about Burrow, and I don't know that people talked enough about Herbert because the Chargers kept losing football games. But he's talented, and they can come in here, and he could, you know, he could hang up 300 yards on the Bills' pass defense and make life really difficult for the Bills.
Easy,
yeah.
I would almost expect 300. Yeah,
yeah.
He's the best young quarterback since. I mean, I keep pointing out that Baker Mayfield had the most touchdown passes of any rookie ever.
Yeah.
And the league has, you know, skewed more towards passing. But Justin Herbert is just, I mean, is he going to break that record for touchdown passes by a rookie?
What was the record? I don't even know what it is off the top of my head.
I think Baker Mayfield has it at, okay, let me just double check here. Because Peyton Manning had it first. And then Baker Mayfield had it with 27 touchdowns.
Oh, man, forget
week 8.
It. Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought that was the year record.
Well, part of what will happen is Baker didn't go in right away. Neither did Herbert, of
right,
course.
But, that's right.
Although
Baker went in week, was early in the season, right?
Wasn't it?
Week
it was
2, maybe,
early.
Or week 3? I mean, Herbert's at 20, what did you say it was, 21 or 22?
Yeah,
and he's still got 6 games left.
Baker had 27 in 14 games, which broke Peyton Manning's record.
Oh, Herbert's passing that. Herbert could
right.
get to 30 easily.
Now, some of that, of course, is because of the era that we now play in where guys throw the ball all over the place all day, every day. Indianapolis, Peyton Manning had 26 in 16 games in his rookie season. He also threw 28 interceptions. And here's Justin Herbert, who's going to throw, what, 35 touchdowns.
Well, he's been averaging at least he's had seven straight multi-touchdown games. If he does that, he's over 30 touchdowns for this season.
He needs six touchdowns to become the all-time number one rookie touchdown passer
in six games.
Yep.
Seems very doable for him.
Feels like it's going to happen unless he gets hurt.
Right. So he is definitely worth the, well, I would say worth the price of admission, but nobody's paying to be at the game on Sunday. 803-0550 to join us on this Bills football Monday. 888-550-2550. We want to talk about what you saw yesterday on your Bills bye day, as you were able to just hang out and watch football all day. Maybe you did from 1 to whatever time the Chiefs-Raiders game ended last night. Since it is a football Monday, Sal will be in today with the Extra Point Show. And that's from 10 to noon. Sal's going to join us at 7. He's got an interesting article. I'll kind of get you caught up on a whole bunch of things on the Bills at WGR550.com. Their roster situation, how many spots are available, the COVID list, all a bunch of stuff, cap stuff. We'll delve into that at 7 when Sal's with us. So he's on from 10 to noon. Eric Wood at 4. That's all a part of the Bills football Monday lineup today on WGR.
I think that there's teams out there who I think are soft, who have not played a lot of I don't love Baltimore at all. I know that they're flashy and they've got the MVP, and I don't think they're playing good football, and I don't think that they are really good against elite competition. I guess it just brings me back to, okay, so the Bills lost, and it was heartbreaking, and it was really stressful, and I know that no one wants to hear quality loss, but they played a good team on the road, and it took a miracle play to beat them. That type of stuff is the kind of thing that's going to pay off in the playoffs. I don't care what your record is as much as who you've played, and the Bills have played a lot of teams.
Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. Among the many problems I have with my head, Jeremy, I was having Hail Mary flashbacks over the weekend. Twice. Yesterday, New England ends up losing, and I didn't think they were going to hit the Hail Mary, but they actually connected on a Hail Mary. It just happened to be at the 10-yard line, not in the end zone. But when they lined up for that, I'm flashing back to the Bills in Arizona. I don't remember what game it was, but there was a college game Saturday. Same deal. Somebody was in a Hail Mary situation trailing at the end of the game down to the last play, and they didn't score. But I think I'm going to have to see someone to get over some Hail Mary flashbacks I'm dealing with right now. What else grabbed you from the day yesterday? Anything else stood out to you from watching all the football yesterday?
I flipped around. Andy Dalton is okay.
Yeah.
Right? He's the Cowboys, if they'd had Dalton the entire time, would probably be leading that division and being just fine.
Yeah, I think so.
It's
just such an awful division. So yeah.
How about the last play of the game that Denver ran? You were watching on Red Zone or
yeah? They were by the last drive for Miami. They were pretty much taking every play on Red Zone at that point.
So there's 1 second left in the game. There's what? It's a fourth down play.
Four seconds left. Four seconds and a fourth down. Yep.
They get themselves into a spot where they're discussing on the broadcast like, well, what's the best way to waste 4 seconds? You know, should Drew Lock just run it out of the end zone and take the safety? Should he throw it high up in the air? Do you have your punter kick it out of bounds? Like, any way to just waste 4 seconds. And what they did was they rolled out Drew Lock and had him heave it down the field, and they completed it for like a 50-yard catch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, like, Miami, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to sell out to try and get to him in less than 4 seconds.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. Like, you don't often see a team throw the ball there.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, there was a game a long time ago, Syracuse maybe playing against Pitt or I don't remember. I was at the game, but whoever caught the rebound for Syracuse, same thing. Rather than let Pitt foul them or Notre Dame or whoever it was, the Syracuse player threw the ball into the air.
Yep.
Like, up to the roof. Like, this will take a good 4 seconds to land.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
So I liked it. I liked how they did that. It kind of padded Drew Lock's stats a little bit. So that's nice if you have him in fantasy, you know.
I was very glad they didn't try punting. I didn't think they would, but you can never rule out a coach doing something that makes you go, "What in the world are you trying at this point?" I was yelling at the I'm looking at the clock. We're all doing the math, right? And I'm just like, "Don't punt." You know, like, is the offense staying on the field after third down? And I'm like, yes, don't punt. So I was just glad they didn't try and do that. It would have been, you know, bad snap, block punt, which Miami special teams have been good at this year. So, I figured at the very least it would have been, hey, Drew, just take the ball and run backwards. And by the time you get to the end zone, 4 seconds will be off the clock. You just take a safety and run out the clock. As it turns out, that was fine too. You know, heave the ball downfield. The clock's ticking. They would have had to have picked it off and then returned it with no time left on the clock, which wasn't going to happen. So I was pretty confident at that point that they weren't going to blow the game with 4 seconds left. And that was, I thought that was, you know, I felt, I was watching the, as I said, red zone. And they had the Burrow injury pretty quick. And they didn't show the replay, thankfully, and later they did. And you could see the knee bend and everything. But, you know, that was the depressing moment of the day because it's, you know, the good young quarterbacks in this league have made the league, have put the league in a better spot. Guys like Josh Allen and the season he's having and even in defeat with Cincinnati this year and their record, watching Burrow go down was a tough thing yesterday. I felt bad for the kid because he looks so promising in a year great for them. Yeah, it's fun. And like I said, Herbert. You know, if you could ever have fun watching a 3-7 Chargers team, this is the team because Justin Herbert comes out each week and he is throwing the ball all over the place and he's putting up 300 yards and he's getting 2-3 passing touchdowns a game. And then, you know, Burrow getting just knocked around like crazy this year behind an offensive line was really fun to watch. I felt bad for them.
They talked about that on the post game. Phil Simms, Boomer. I mean, it's really a tough case to make for me. The idea that they should have had Burrow out sooner. They're asking him to throw too much. Yeah, basically that he's being put in harm's way because they don't protect him. He's taking a lot of really rough hits,
which is
probably true.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You're just going to not throw the ball because you're protecting Burrow.
Yeah.
You're just not going to throw the ball? You're going to call games to hand the ball off to Gio Bernard
all day? What does
that accomplish?
How does that make him a better quarterback, too?
Right. I mean, I guess you could maybe design a game plan to try and get him to take fewer hits, but they're almost talking like he shouldn't play. Well, you know what? You should just. And I even read an article from Ollie Connolly, I believe, who was maybe the Guardian. It said you should shut him down.
Like, really?
Nothing good can happen at this point. He's only going to get hurt. You know he's good. Just wait till next year.
Huh.
And that's another thing that's just not really done. You know, there's the Bengals. For me, the only reason to watch would be Burrow and T. Higgins in the offense. Yeah. But, like, Bengals fans yesterday, I feel like their season ended.
Right.
Why watch
What's the
them?
Point? Right. What are you watching in the – who cares about what Ryan Finley does in the last, five, six games of the season for them? Burrow was the guy that brought you to the game every week to watch. 803-0550. Hey, it's Bills Football Monday. You can join us. We'll talk about the Dolphins game yesterday. You can talk about the Bills. What else? What grabbed you from all the games you were watching yesterday? You can share that with us. Sal's going to join us in a moment. Football Monday on WGR is presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.